Okay, 11:27. I want you to turn immediately. Are you ready? All the way over to Psalm 22, because I need to finish 23. Psalm 23. I need to finish this, and I'm not going to be finished until about verse 6. And I'm now at verse 4. And so, let's jump into this. And by the way, the greatest thing about God is don't let anything ever scare you away from a church. No, you ask questions. And that's why we teach in Bible study on Tuesdays about the Holy Ghost. And that's just the way this church was designed. Is, man, you, because that way you can raise your hand and ask questions. Well, I don't want you doing that in a corporate service because it'll get out of order, right? And you know me, I'm not going to let it get out of order. I'm a pretty bold preacher. Well, you have to be out there in the field because, you know, the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy constantly. He's trying to stop the move of God. And I'm telling you, he's not going to. And it's going to take the church to get a backbone and carry on the gospel of Jesus to the uttermost parts of the world. Say amen to that, y'all. Come on. Because we need to spread the gospel of Jesus. Amen. And I'm telling you, in heaven, you're going to have the giftings operate. You're going to have choirs rolling, man. I mean, you're going to have praise and worship that's out of this world. We're going to be magnifying and glorifying, not a human, God Almighty. Amen. And so, oh, I can't wait. But I want to get through Psalms 23, the very first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I spent a lot of time on what it means to be a shepherd, right? Because a shepherd takes care of the flock. And Jesus does take care of us. I mean, I pray for you people. Whew. And don't talk about the flock to me. I'm going to give you a spiritual whooping if you do. Why? Well, because I care for every single one of you that's a member of this church. If you're here visiting trying to find a church, then I pray this is it. And if it's not, you've got to find a Bible-believing church that what do we call it? When you plant the roots, where you plant is where you grow, right? And we need to be planted somewhere. But man, the shepherd is a very important thing. And I only shepherd this flock. I don't shepherd the next church down the road, right? But I serve the shepherd. And the shepherd is the one that called me and my wife to this church. He didn't call y'all to be the shepherd, okay? And churches get that mixed up. So what you have is you have a split. And when a church splits, it's because someone thought he knew better how to run the church that God didn't call him to run, probably, or he would have been the pastor. Amen. And so it gets so out of order that we need the shepherd, but we're serving the shepherd. And my job as the pastor, the shepherd of this flock, is to lead people to the shepherd. Not don't be led to me. Amen. Say it louder. Amen. Don't be led to a person, a pastor. I mean, thank you for your honor. I appreciate the honor of how you honor me as your pastor. I think that's a very important thing. But I'm not the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. Then it says, "I shall not want." That means he's the provider. Then verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." You know what that is? Rest. We need rest sometimes. Not a spiritual rest where you quit coming to church so you can sleep in. That's not the rest it's talking about. But your body needs to be rested. I was at Gale, Texas, And I provided the steers at the steer rope, and it's a professional steer rope. On Saturday we did two head, and Sunday we did two head. And they asked me, "I need you to go get a steer number 23. And he was an extra steer because they had hurt a steer, and when you hurt one, you don't want them to keep getting hurt. You need them to recover because they cost $1,700 each. Okay, they're expensive. Okay, so I was down there and they said, "Hey, would you mind to find Steer 23, we need to put him in this particular order for this particular cowboy that had one that got injured. I said, not a problem. So I went in there, and I was pushing 23, but there was a white steer, and he kicked me right there. See that, Rusty? Right in the knee. Anybody ever been kicked by a horse or a steer? Anyway, it's no bueno por nada. Okay? But I didn't think much of it. I thought, ah. And by the way, I don't own that white steer anymore. I sold that thing, you know, down the road. Let him beat up. And he would. J. Tom Fisher, a world champion steer roper from Andrews, drew him in the first round. And he's the one that kind of made him sore. And that's the one we cut out. Well, that steer was trying to hook J. Tom's horse. And, I mean, he was not a nice steer. Well, he kicked me right there. And what I think had happened is it made me, hyperextend my knee. But I didn't think anything about it. I still roped, and it didn't really hurt. And it was a little sore that night, right? And then everything got okay until this weekend. And as I was just sitting at a banquet before we roped at the Turquoise Circuit Finals, and I took two horses and 13 steers all the way to Cave Creek, Arizona. And I got home yesterday. And that's a long ways, right? And when I was sitting at this banquet and they was introducing all the circuit finalists, the top cowboys and cowgirls in that particular circuit. And I'm in the circuit of Arizona and New Mexico because I was raised and born in Arizona and then raised a lot in New Mexico. And so it was just, I'm always at those rodeos, and it was easier not to compete with all my Texas friends. They're good. Amen. And I went to that one, and so we're being introduced, and all of a sudden my knee starts hurting. And I'm like, man, I don't... I went the next day, and I stretched real good before I roped, and I ended up roping three steers and did good. But my knee, when I finished roping that third steer, my knee's just, I mean, bending it. I mean, wow. I called my sister-in-law, who's a physical therapist, and I said, hey, here's what happened. I've forgotten that I got kicked. And it just popped that knee back. But it hurt a little bit, a little sore on the outside, but mainly in the back. And it was, and she, I said, but I don't see any kind of swelling, I told her. And she said, well, what you did is you hyperextended it, and so there's a little bit of inflammation underneath. And she told me what to do. And again, it feels good. But how many of you know, when the Bible says to rest, you need to rest. I needed to rest that knee. So last night, I got a heat. She said either ice or heat. I got a heating pad. And, oh, man, it feels so good. Why? Well, because the inflammation is out of it, and I'm going to rest this knee. That's something that is very important in the kingdom of God, is resting. And then it says that he leads me beside the still waters. Well, that's refreshment. Because any good cool water, especially when you're hot, is refreshment. And then we talked about he restores my soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And man, you need to don't get those out of line. Because if your emotions get out of control, I mean, you're a basket case a lot of times in everything you do. You've got to control. And God is really important. It's really important when you serve the Lord that you stay in control, because there's always an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're not in control, then you start meditating on all the bad, right? And then it says, and he leads me in the path of righteousness, which is doing what's right. We're righteous people when Jesus is Lord. Say amen to that. And when you understand that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then that means we do what's right. We live right. Now, yes, there's grace, mercy, forgiveness when we mess up or whatever, but really that's not supposed to be what we meditate on. Well, if I mess up, there's grace and mercy and forgiveness. No, what we should meditate on is, hey, we're the righteousness of God. We do what's right, and we can. Amen. And then it says, for His name's sake. I mean, that's a pretty important thing, because that's purpose, you see. Well, I want to really quickly talk about verse 4, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I really studied this out, because you need to understand that trials and tribulations are real. And you and I, as a believer in Jesus, just because Jesus is the Lord of our life, are not exempt from a trial and tribulation just because Jesus is Lord. Now, there's a benefit, though, for having Jesus as our Lord, our provider, our protection, etc. I mean, Psalms 91 is crucial to a believer for protection. How's that start, Psalms 91? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protection. Because when God's over you, shadowing you, in Spanish that's called sombra, right? It's shade. When he's over you like shade, oh man, it changes everything, because that's protection. Especially when there's a storm. And we need to be protected. We're abiding under the shadow of God Almighty, you see. Now, we all go through trials and tribulations. The most important thing that I've said for years, me and my wife and my family, especially when my kids were still home, both one graduated from college and one just started. So they're out on their own. They're having to make the right choices on their own. Without mom and dad being right there whooping their tail. I've always let them know, you know what's right. I'm going to teach you in the ways of the Lord, so that when you get old, you won't depart. You'll stay hooked from now until when you get old in the ways of the Lord. I've always declared this, and I know if you've been to this church long enough, you've heard me say this. You ready? We don't go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. I can't tell you the number of counseling sessions that I have of people that have stayed in a trial and tribulation for years and years. And a trial and tribulation might be an addiction. I mean, something that no one even, maybe they don't know about this addiction that you're under, except close people and friends. But sometimes we stay in it because we never learn how to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So you come to church and you get victory in knowing, wait, whatever that is that has a hold on me, if it's tobacco or it doesn't matter what it is, if it's got a hold, you have a key to the kingdom to get out of it. So when you get through a trial, through a tribulation, and again, I could probably go across this crowd and there'll be major testimony of trials and tribulations that you've either overcome or you're in right now. It could be relationship, it could be health, it could be financial. I mean, it could be depression, it could be all kinds of things that are trying to cause you not to walk in the promises of God. I mean, the enemy's trying through a trial and tribulation keep you out of the blessing of God. But when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, then you've overcome it. So I've learned it through maturity, through probably mistakes or two, how to get through a trial and tribulation. If someone is upset at me, I mean, I'm talking, it could be vicious out there being a preacher. I mean, They can make up things. I heard about one school teacher, and you see it all over with, you know, infidelity, an adult with a child, and that manipulation that can take place. But there was one that three people conspired to make up that she was involved with them sexually, and it ruined her. She lost her job. She was about to go to jail until they started coming clean. And it was terrible. I mean, just one lie can ruin people. You see, that's a trial and that's a tribulation. And when you, and again, I don't know what you're going through, but the key is you get through it. You got to get through a trial and tribulations. Because when it talks about, yo, they walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, those valleys are times of intense hardship sometimes. I wrote down that it's spiritual darkness. It's a terrible word called suffering. Job 17 and 9 literally says this, yet the righteous, remember, you're the righteous, right? We studied that just right before. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And then Job says it in 17 verse 9. Right, yet the righteous, the right standing people, the people who understand who they are in Christ Jesus, the righteous will hold to His ways. And he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. I mean, you know what a trial and tribulation does? It tries to get us weak, right? It tries to get us to be the afflicted. It tries to get us to be the defeated. But we're the victor. We don't have to be the victim over and over, y'all. Not when you know who Christ Jesus is that lives on the inside of you as a believer. Yea, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. The God that lives on the inside of you is greater than any trial and tribulation you might be going through. But the key thing is get through the trial and tribulation. If you lose your joy, you lost your strength. And that's what the enemy is trying to do to a believer today. He's trying to keep them in that miry pit, the pit, so that you lose your joy and then finally give up on this God stuff. But don't you dare. No, you got to keep going on. You got to keep the good fight of faith. Now, look what it says real fast since I have 15 minutes. I'm watching the clock back there. It says, after, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, you've heard me many, many times at this church talk about that spirit of fear. All of you know during COVID, remember, for some reason, one Sunday or one particular time, the government, the state, couple of judges, and I had a judge at that piano at the time. Thank God for her. Greatest friend. Say we couldn't hold services because of a virus that could be spreading. Before anybody knew what the doggone virus was. Right? Okay. What'd we do? I preached against the spirit of fear for one solid year. And y'all know that I got on horseback and we had parking lot services. And then we went to the arena and we would have, and they came from, I mean, hundreds, right? And remember, we would get a trailer and we would still play the fiddle and Darryl on the guitar and me on the guitar. And then I would have my horse ready And I'd get on horseback and I'd go back and forth over that big parking lot, hundreds of cars. And they would get out and they'd sit on their tailgate. None of them had masks on. Why? Because the trial and tribulation, the valleys of the shadow of deaths, was trying to get us to shut up. Well, how many know when you stop speaking the word of God, you lose every bit of power? That's why Romans says in order to get born again and saved, Jesus become your Lord, you got to confess with your mouth the Lord. You can't do it underneath your breath. You can't think. No, when I'm teaching my kids how to rope, it wouldn't make no sense for me to go, okay. Do you hear what I'm saying? And my son would say, you didn't say nothing. Okay, one more time. God, I'm saying it in here. That does no good, but boy, when I say, okay, listen. The reason you're splitting the horns, you're roping the right horn, it's figure eighting and it's not catching that left horn. It's because your loop is not level. You've got to get the loop level when you rope. Because if it's not level, then it crisscrosses. And when a loop crisscrosses, it's not open. And then when you deliver and you throw the rope at a target, if it's crisscrossed, we call it figure eight, it can't be open to catch both horns. And it needs to be open. A loop has to be open, y'all, when you swing it around your head. And one thing, son, you don't want to hit your head. Because if you hit your head, it ruins your loop. And the loop has to be open, so it's got to go over the head. So the wrist and the arm have to do its job to keep the loop open, right? Because then, come on, when you throw it at the target, it needs to rope the cabeza. It needs to rope the head, right? Because that's the target. And when you got two horns sticking, you don't, because that's a devil. When you got an animal that has two horns, you have to have the loop open up enough to catch both of them. Because in the event of team roping or even steer roping, you have to catch both horns. If you catch one, the loop comes off. It doesn't do your job, right? I have to be able to tell him that, right? You've got to open up your loop and then follow through, catch your target so that you can accomplish the event of team roping. You rope the head, then someone comes in and ropes the two hind feet. And when both of them are tight-faced, a flagger will drop the flag and the quickest time wins. Okay? You can't say all that without speaking it. There is power. So they wanted to close our mouths, right? I'm telling you, fear came on everybody. Remember? They had this vaccine. And I said one time, hey, if you feel like the Lord is giving you peace about taking that vaccine, okay. But he ain't giving me peace. We don't even know what's going in our bodies. And now as we found out, it wasn't very good not just putting something in your body you didn't even know what it was. And people are dying at young ages now. Heart attacks like you've never seen. And we're seeing it all in sports. Major 20-year-olds just, bam, dying. Why? Well, because they wanted you to be fearful. And I've told this church over and over and over, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I preached that for one solid year on horseback. It went, and thank God for our judge that said, hey, you're not going to get thrown in jail. You preach the gospel. I said, thank you, ma'am. All the other preachers, remember I was on those conference calls. There was so much fear. I'm talking huge churches. Oh, and I'm on the line going, what? What? We don't have a spirit of fear? What? But you know what will cast out fear? A word called love. Love. Well, I think I've got enough time. Let's just go real fast to 1 John chapter 4. That's at the back of your Bible. Let's just really read that. 1 John chapter 4. Because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Right? All right, look real fast. The very first John, and then go to chapter 4. And then look at verse 17. 1 John 4 and 17. Go to Revelations and go back to your left. You'll find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Look at verse 17. Chapter 4 of 1 John. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Are y'all seeing this? But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him, God, because He first loved us. I'm telling you, look at verse 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I mean, the Spirit of God here, He just says it point blank. I like that. Just say what it is. That's what Dad always taught us growing up. Listen to me, son. And everybody knows my dad was a rancher, worked for John Wayne. I mean, he had to be a cowboy, right? John Wayne. When I preach on TV and I have a cowboy hat on, even if it was in Germany, if someone saw me on the TV channel that I was on, and I had a cowboy hat, and they were from Germany, they immediately thought I was John Wayne. Anyway, if someone says, I love God, but anyway, Dad would say, hey, if the Bible says it, believe it. Amen. Don't sugarcoat the Word of God. That's what he taught me, boy. Woo. So I like it. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Listen, y'all, if the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, then you got to start understanding love. Not a perverted love. Just a love that I love God so much that, and then I love people so much, it don't matter what they say to me. They can try to stab me in the back, I still want them to go to heaven. Now, no, don't think for 1 minute the thought doesn't come to not go to heaven. But I just cast that thought out. Why? Because I'm perfected in love. But if not, fear takes over. Okay? So, oh man. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm getting through anything, I'll fear no evil. So I'm going to walk in faith. Right? That's a believer. So when you go out the gates and then trials and tribulations come, because seriously, they come. What if someone cuts you off? That's a trial. That could be a tribulation on how you respond. Right? No, when you go, bless them, Lord, and hold your tongue. Well, when you got the love of God, it doesn't make you upset. Now, they'll reap what they sow, because down the road you'll see that they're pulled over. Now, that's not the time that you giggle when you go by. Well, maybe. Just a little. No, I'm kidding. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. All right. Did you enjoy it this morning? Love you so much. Father, Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that, wow, we can experience a lot of things in the kingdom. We can experience a message in tongues, and then eventually the interpretation came, sir. And all that's in the Bible. And then we can learn how to overcome a knee injury and how to overcome a relationship problem or a marriage difficulty. I thank you, Father, that you're the provider, so even finances can be blessed if we learn how to do it biblically. Father, thank you for the Word. Because the Word, the Bible says, sets us free because it's truth. So we want to live by the Word, not by opinions. We want to live by the Word of God. So thank you. Thank you, sir, for this Word this morning that we received by faith. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life. We're going to pray a prayer. And all the believers in here know they're going to pray this prayer with you. They're not getting saved again by praying the prayer to ask Jesus to come into their lives. They're just praying it and then learning how to lead others to Jesus. The more you pray this prayer, the more you learn how to lead someone to Jesus that wouldn't come to this church. Maybe it's in a horse stall. It's at your job. It's at the store. If you know how, because you've prayed this prayer with someone around you that has never prayed it before, it'll help you learn the spirit of leading people to Jesus. If you're here again, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or in other words, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or the place called hell that preachers don't talk about much. In order to go to heaven, that's John 14. Jesus says this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus. So out of your mouth, I want you to pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life if you've never done that. And then all you believers, again, would you pray it as well? And let's pray it out loud just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. Come into heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm here on this earth, I'm going to serve you. I need help. I'm going to go to church. But I need to learn what the Bible says about me. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, it is an honor to call you a brother or sister in Christ. And I know people that's been coming a few times or for the first time that they gave their heart to Jesus. All I want you to do, and I'm not going to embarrass you and have you come to the front, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, or if you're watching us, wherever you're at across the country and you're watching this program and you just prayed that prayer, then I just want you to tell us. If you're watching, just say, I gave my life to Jesus. Tell us where you're from if you're watching. But if you're here in this congregation and you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you just to raise your hand up and put it right back down. Here's why I have you do that. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't ever be ashamed that Jesus is Lord. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you with boldness to raise that hand up and say, I prayed it, and then just put it right back down. And that's all I want you to do. Ready? At the count of three, if that's you, get it up, your hand, and put it right back down. One, two, three, go. All right, look at me. That means everybody in here is born again. Thank God. Now, as we leave, I want to remind you that It's good to invite people to a church you believe in. You probably wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in it. So I'll be here next Sunday. I want you to invite people to come and hear about the Word of God. And there'll be probably a lot of new peoples next week. Thank God we had one. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor. I appreciate y'all. Love you. Obviously, no announcements except Bible study on Tuesday is a good chance to start having fellowship with each other. That's where you learn each other. And you make friends and you fellowship. And then next Sunday, we just come back and we have a blast. Amen. We are getting ready for the rodeo in May. Big, big event. We have to raise. I told someone, you won't believe this, but we raise $120,000 to put on that rodeo. But the sponsors come in like you've never seen because the crowd is... The biggest problem with the rodeo now is we don't have enough seating. Seriously. We don't have... I'm figuring out ways to eventually build skyboxes where, you know, you have the VIP seating and on both ends. I'm trying to figure out if we need to level the other side and put stands in between the pillars because you don't have that problem on this side. I've got two older stands with wood, you know, that you'll sit on, but hey, there's two of them. I'm moving them to where we had the what we call it, hospitality area. And hopefully we now have a tent that someone might donate for the hospitality tent that we can move out where the contestants are and we'll bless them. But it takes a lot. And then it takes all of us volunteers. So we're organizing that. I know we got a lot of time until May, but it takes a lot of time to put on a professional event. And we'll have the best cowboys and cowgirls in the world here. Amen. And so be praying about all that as we get closer. Amen. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed.